Alright, Chav Gimel and Beis, we're in the middle of that sugya, which discusses what's the halacha with going to the bathroom, urinating with tefillin in your hand. The Gemara says that it's usur. Says the Gemara, that must be Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to go into a Beis Akisei Kavua with it on. Certainly, you can go into a Beis Akisei Aroi with it on. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a Mishnah which says that things that are mutter in a kavua are usr in an aroi. Things that are mutter there are usr here. Is this not talking about things that are mutter in a kavua is usr in an aroi, even though it doesn't make sense? The Gemara says, no, maybe it's talking about how much you're allowed to reveal of yourself when you go to the bathroom. A tefach or tefachayim. That when you go to the bathroom, gedolim, you only do a tefach. When you go, you only do a tefach. When you go to the bathroom, ketanim, you do a tefach in the back and a tefachayim in front. So the Gemara says, my love, the Gemara says, but that doesn't make sense. Why would that be mutter? V'tizbra, ipa ketanim, if it's talking about where you're going to the bathroom, ketanim, so the la'achayra of tevach lamali, so then why do you need to reveal yourself, expose yourself at all in the back? It doesn't make sense. Ela idi v'idi b'gedolim. Both are talking, those two brises, one which says a tefach in the back, and one which says, and two tefachim in the front, and one which says only a tefach in the back, they're both talking about where a person has to go, b'gedolim only. V'loy kasha. And nevertheless, it's not a question. This one that says a tefach in the back is a be'isha. Ha be'isha, be'isha. A woman is able to... Good morning, good morning. We just got started just because we're finishing off from yesterday. Ha be'isha, be'isha. Good morning, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Ha-be'ish, ha-be'isha, it's talking about the woman should reveal herself a tefach in the back, and she doesn't have to reveal herself anything in the front, because nothing major can happen there. And ha-be'ish, this is talking about where a man should reveal himself a tefach in the back and two tefachim in the front, because things might, because since he may come, since once he's relieving himself the gedolim, so then he may come to also need to reveal himself in the front. And because the front, we're much more concerned that things might spray. Good morning, good morning. We started to drop early today just because we're finishing up from yesterday. And it wasn't a big crowd yesterday. So, Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding about 15 lines down. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, Hadikatani Allah, Zea Kavachemer Shein Alav Tshuva. Says the Gemara, if that's what this means, if there's a brisa that says that I made you usr over here are mutter here, meaning that there's a reason to believe that this should be usr and this should be mutter, and nevertheless we're saying it's the opposite. And says the Gemara, the brisa itself finishes off, this is a Kavachemer that doesn't have any explanation, there's no refutation to such a Kavachemer. My ain't love tshuva. If it's referring to the fact that a woman, when she goes to the bathroom, has to expose herself only a tefach, and a man has to expose himself two tefachim, there's a very good explanation for that. And that is that a man has to, a man will be messier if he suddenly feels the need to urinate during excrement, and therefore, that's why he should expose himself more, because he doesn't want to, he has a bigger chance of dirtying his clothes. Whereas a woman, it'll come out, and that's it. A man will spray more. That's what the Gemara is saying. So, Ma'ane Elav Tshuva, Darka Demilsa Hachi Yisa. That's exactly the way it should be. A man should expose himself to the amount that he needs, and a woman should expose herself to the amount that she needs. The Gemara says, the only other explanation I have to explain this brisa is to say that it's talking about tefillin. Elav is talking about tefillin. V'tziyuv t'zer Rava. And it is a refutation of Rava's opinion. And Rava is the one who said before that the halacha, that halacha cannot follow this Mishnah that says that a person can urinate holding his tefillin. A person can urinate with his tefillin on. Amar Rav Sheish is tiyuvta, it is a tiyuvta. You're right. This brisa must mean that in a basic kisei kavua, one is allowed to go in there and urinate, but in a basic kisei arua, you're not allowed to. And that's what the Gemara means. It's a kavachem, it doesn't make sense. That's what the Mishnah means. It's a kavachem, it's something that doesn't make sense. Questions the Gemara, so taka, what's the pshat? Alright, so you're telling me it's a kavachem, it's shein alav tshuva, but what's taka the pshat? Mikom akam kasha. Has the basic kisei kavua shari basic kisei aroi lekol chicken. If it's a mutter in a basic kisei kavua, then certainly it should be mutter in a basic kisei aroi. And the Gemara says hachi kamar basic kisei kavua delek and itzaitzos is shari. Basic kisei kavua, where you're going to the bathroom and you're going to be sitting down, so therefore there's not going to be too many spray. There's not going to be too much spray, so therefore you're able to go ahead and wear your tefillin on and we're not concerned for anything. But basically, you say aroi, where you're, I think the avart is that you're standing up, and memela, it's going to spray back when it hits the floor, and it's going to hit you, it's going to sprinkle back on your clothes, and then you're going to have to wipe them up. And if you're holding the tefillin in your hand, you're going to have to get your tefillin messy. That the ikinitaitis, there we asked it, astri. So the Gemara says, okay, so then it makes sense. So what does the Brayis mean when it says, ihaki amai ain't a love tshuva? Tshuva amal yasihi. There's a great explanation. The Gemara says, hachi ka amar, hamilsa tesimi b'teres taima. This is what the Brayis meant to say. This halacha, you have to come along with explanations. But not with just with straight, I'll pee the books. Because I'll pee the books, if a basic kisei it's mutter, if a real basic kisei it's mutter, then certainly just to go in the field it's mutter, basic kisei are right. The isla b'teres kavachemer, because if you come in just with I'll pee the books, hey, if this is machmer, then this is, sometimes you can go ahead and explain things and learn the dinim based on what's on I'll pee the books, what's more chamer, what's more kula. If you do that, then zehu kavachemer shein alav tshuva, this is a kavachemer that has no explanation for it. But now that you come and explain it, aha, here it's going to spray back, here it won't, now we understand it. All right. New Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. Haroitze likones lisu'udas keva. Halfway down, Chav Gimel Amabez. Somebody wants to go and start eating a full meal, a su'udas keva. He wants to sit down for an official meal. So he should go ahead and make sure that he doesn't need to go to the bathroom during the meal. Because it's embarrassing to go to the bathroom during the meal. And therefore, you should check yourself to make sure that you are sufficiently empty during, you don't need to make a bowel movement during the meal. How do you do that? By walking and stopping, and walking and stopping. Because, explains Rashi, a person, the bowels start to move based on walking and stopping and sitting. So therefore, mahalach asara pa'amim dalad amas, take 10 short trips of 4 amas each, walk back and forth, 10 short trips, and each trip you have to go ahead and, so if you have those small Israeli bathrooms where you like go in and it's like just a tiny little bathroom, it's kind of hard to do that. But if you have a more of a normal sized bathroom, then you could walk around in a circle of dalad amas and then try again, dalad amas, then try again, dalad amas, then try again. Alternatively, you could just drink a coffee because a lot of times that makes the bowel movement go as well. But or sometimes Slurpees. So therefore, if a person goes ahead and has a he can either walk 10 times 4 amas each, or 4 times oydal pa'amim asara amas the yifne, and each time he should try to attempt to go to the bathroom va'achar kach nichnas, and afterwards he should go into his suda. Amar v'yitzlik nichnas l'sudas keva, a person who goes into a suda's keva choylet tefilov, he should take off his tefillin va'achar kach nichnas, and afterwards he should go into the suda. Upliga d'Rabbi Chia d'Amar Rabbi Chia, and this argues, and it's mashma like he just leaves them outside. This argues on Rabbi Chia d'Amar Rabbi Chia manichin al shulchan, he should leave it next to you v'chein hadulay, and that looks good for you, that you know that you're going to want to put them on as soon as the suda ends. But you shouldn't put them on during the suda. First of all, a person might get drunk. Second of all, there might be levity at the suda and things like that. The ad amos, until how long must a person keep the tefillin off? Amrav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak ad zman baracha, until the time of benching. Tani chad atzayr adam tefillah ve'im ma'osav one ba'afra kasusai. One brisa says, one tana holds that you're allowed to tie your tefillin with your money in your litter. It means your headscarf, but apparently they had some sort of, you know, like some people have money belts, so they had some sort of like head belt as well. So you're able to keep your tefillin together with money in the head belt, into some sort of kerchief that you tie your valuables in. But tiny idach, you're not allowed to. Lo yitzer. And the Gemara says it doesn't, there's no question. Lo kasha. Had the azmane, had the lo azmane. Here is where you specifically set aside this headscarf for tefillin. Your tefillin bag, you're not allowed to keep other stuff in it if it was specified for tefillin. So if something that was specified for tefillin, you can't keep other stuff in it. But if it wasn't specified for tefillin, you just happen to keep it there. That's your bag. You got a target bag, and you start keeping things there. You didn't say, okay, this target bag is going to be my tefillin bag. You got a bag from the shelf, and you put your tefillin in it. Then you're allowed to keep other things in there as well. So had the azmane, had the lo azmane. It depends on whether or not you set it aside for carrying the tefillin or not. If you set it aside, that's the pshat of the first mandamar, that you cannot keep your tefillin there anymore. And if you didn't set it aside, that's the pshat in the other manda amar, that you may keep your tefillin together with your money. The amar of Chizda, as Rav Chizda says, Hay sudra, the tefillin, the azmane lemeitzer beit tefillin, this scarf of tefillin that you set aside, lemeitzer, to wrap up beit tefillin, tsar beit tefillin, if you wrapped up your tefillin in there. So you need two things, two conditions. Number one, you set it aside, and number two, you actually used it. according to Rav Chisda, just merely, let's say you go to the store and you buy a tefillin pouch and it says tefillin on it, and you buy a tefillin pouch and it says tefillin on it. That is called azmanay, but it wasn't used yet. Therefore, according to Rav Chisda, it's not a problem. You could still put money in there. You need two conditions. Number one, azmanay, you set it aside. I'm buying this for tefillin. It says tefillin on it. And number two, I actually used it for tefillin. And that's actually how we paskin. There's many halachas about this. Let's say a person sets aside a bathroom. This is going to be a bathroom. Are you allowed to walk in there with your tefillin? You're allowed to say a bracha? It was never used. You're allowed to. Let's say a person's building a house. And he sets up, he's in the bathroom. Because it was never used as a bathroom, it's mutter to do anything in there. You could go ahead and bring a Sefer Torah in there and read Krishna, everything. Kolzman is azmanay is not, you need azmanay and use. But once you have so tsar beit tefillin, if you actually put tefillin in there, then usser lemeitzer beit pshite. It is prohibited to put lemeitzer beit, to tie in there pshite, is coins.
What if you put tefillin in there without the
azmanay? Also, you need both conditions. You need azmanay, that's where azmanay veloy tsarbay, tsarbay veloy azmanay. If you used it without, if you set it aside without using it, or you used it, like you're asking right now, and you did not set it aside, in both cases, shari lemeitzerbay tefillin, lemeitzerbay zuzi, it is permitted to keep it in there. And zuzi and pshiti is basically the same thing. Zuzi is a specific coin, pshiti is just coins. So, you're allowed to keep in there money. Ula Abaye, according to Abaye, the Amar Hazmana Milsahi, according to Abaye that says that setting it aside is enough, you don't need to actually use it also. So he holds Azmanay, once you buy, if you go to the store, you go to Kesher Stam, and you see a bunch of tefillin bags on the rack, those were all set aside to be used for tefillin. Unless the person's name is tefillin and he wants it. But generally we understand that these are tefillin bags. So Azmanay, Afagav the Lord Sarbe, even though you did not use it, it's usher. Tsarbay, and if you used it, then it depends on e azmanay. If you set it aside, it's usher. Eloy, azmanay, loy. If you didn't set it aside, then it is permitted.
Can you put it in
there? It depends, as long as it's on a higher level kedusha.
What's on a higher level?
So for tefillin, it's kind of high. I mean, Sefer Torah is higher, but if you have a small Sefer Torah, no, I don't think so. This is as high.
And a sitter also not?
No, yeah, you can't. But our bigger, I think we only go with the first covering. So, like, in other words, our tefillin bags, even our tefillin bags is a shayla because it has the box around it, but then there's the straps, and then there's some who say that the straps have a hur on it. There's raid exactly if our first tefillin bags are a problem because we have the boxes. But let's assume that it is a problem. So it's the first tefillin bag that you cannot keep other things in it. But the talis bag or the outer bag, like you see right behind you, there's a tefillin bag with an outer bag. So the outer bag doesn't have any kedusha because it's called a tashmish to tashmish.
What if you set aside the bag for a sitter and also put tefillin in there? So once you put tefillin there,
no, because it's not a bag. That's like tzar bei v'lo azmanay. You didn't set it aside for tefillin. What's the halacha? Is a person allowed to keep his tefillin underneath his head, under his pillow, when he sleeps? Tachas merag loisav, under his feet, sitting up with his feet on it. Obviously, loy kami ba'ili. Obviously, that is not my question, because shenoheg bahen minig bizoin, because that is disrespectful, and certainly one cannot use that. He cannot do that. Ki kami ba'ili. My question is tachas merag loisav, under your head. My, what is the din? Omar Lehi said, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Mutter. It is permitted, Afilu Ishtei Imai, even if your wife is with you, meaning even if one is engaged with his wife. Meisvei. Lo Yaniach, questions the Gemara, really? Lo Yaniach, Adav Tfilin, Tachas Meirag Loisav, Mipneishin Noig Behin Biderach Bizoin, Aval Menichin Tachas Meirash Oisav. I have a Bryce which states, it agrees to you that you're allowed to put it under your head, but not if the wife is with you. It says a person is not allowed to keep his tefillin underneath his feet, because that's a design, but underneath his head he could. But if the wife is with him, it's aser. If there's an area that is higher or lower, three tefachim, in other words, it's like a separate area, then it's mutter even if the wife is there. So, to Yuvta, this is a refutation of Shmuel. Indeed, it is prohibited to lie on the tefillin while engaged with one's wife, intimately. Amar Rava.
Could you say that the first one is when it's covered, like, within a couple covers?
I would imagine.
The second bride says it's not covered.
I would imagine that. I would imagine. I'm about to say that I would imagine that both cases are talking about where it was covered with a double covering, because otherwise, anyways, you shouldn't have tefillin in the room.
Right.
But then I'm like, I'm not sure this thing, if it's gevoya gimel tefachim or namach gimel tefachim, it doesn't say anything about being covered. Do they comment there that it has to be covered in the gevoya or namach gimel tefachim? It says if there's an area, let's say you have a shelf, three tefachim, let's say the bed ends here, and there's a shelf over here, it says that you're allowed to keep your tefillin here. Is that talking about where it's in a cover, a double covering? I'd imagine that tefillin needs to be in a double covering, and you cannot have tefillin in the bedroom.
Yeah, no, it says over here, Shmuel means to permit leaving the tefillin under one's pillow when his wife is with him only
if it's
they are enclosed in a double receptacle.
Right, a double covering, yeah. That's what I would assume. And Huadin, I'm going to say that Huadin, if it's on a area that's above and below three tefachim, I would say that it has to be like that. That even Shmuel was davka with it was.
And they say the pillow could qualify for one wrapping, and then you need another one.
You need another wrapping, right. Okay. So Amar Rava, Af al gav de Tanya Tiyuv to the Shmuel, even though we have taught a Braisa which refutes Shmuel's halacha, the halacha follows him. My taima, because kol lina turin hu tfei adif. Anything that is done for more protection is better. So you're right. It is a bit of a bizayin, but at the same time, that's how we protect our tefillin. So it's not geshmak to use that as a pillow during intimacy. However, the other option is leaving it out there for the mice and the thieves, and therefore it's better to do it this way. Veheicha manachle. Exactly, where do you put it? Amar of Yirmiya bein kar lekesis, in between the sheet and the pillow. Shelo keneged roishay, not directly under your head. Questions the Gemara. V'hatani Rabbi Chiya manichin bekoiva tachas meroishayisav. We have Rabbi Chiya said that you place it bekoiva, like in your hat, directly under your head. So the Gemara says demapikle lemorsha dekoiva lebar. Demapikle means you put out. The marsha, like the bulge of where the tefillin are, outside your head. In other words, you're not sleeping directly on the bulge of the tefillin. Marsha is like the bulge. The koiva is of the hat, which you're containing the tefillin in. Labar, to the outside. Demapikle is you're setting it out. So demapikle, the marsha, the koiva, labar. Bar kafra, tzayir lehu, bekilsa. Bar kafra, tzayir, like tied it up, bekilsa. Rashi says it's like the sheet that was spread around outside the bed. Umapik lemayrei shehen lebar, and he placed the bulge of it. He placed it towards the outside, not towards the side of the mita. It sounds like it wasn't even under his head. It sounds like it was the sheet, like you know, you have a four-poster bed with a sheet around it. It sounds like he put it in the sheet around the bed and the bulge on the outside of the bed. Rav Shisha bray dev idi manachle ashar shipa. Rav Shisha bray dev idi placed it on a stool. Uparis sudra. And he placed a sheet over it, probably to act as one of the coverings when he was involved in intimacy. Amar of Amruna Breder of Yosef, Zimna Chada have a Kaimna Kemed Rava. One time I was standing in front of Rava, Va'amrli, and he told me, can you bring me my tefillin? Zil Aisili tefillin. Va'ashkach Tinhu bein Kar Lekesis. And I found it on the bed, in between the pillow and the blanket. Shalokinek and Moshe, not opposite his head. Va'ava Yodana, and I knew Duyom Tevila Have, that his wife had just gone to the mikvah. Alternatively, he went to the mikvah because the tefillah was Ezra. But I knew that he was involved in intimacy. And the reason why he told me to get the tefillah was because halacha lemaisa ula agmurin halacha lemaisa hu da'avad. And therefore, that's why he told me to get the tefillah, because he wanted to show me what he held was the halacha where it was mutter to go ahead and put one's tefillah during intimacy. So that's exactly, he didn't really need me to get the tefillah, but he wanted to show me that, look where I have my tefillah. You know my wife went to the mikvah last night, so go and see where I kept my tefillin. Bo minei Rav Yosef Breidu Rav Nechunya mei Rav Yehuda. Shnayim sheyishanim b'mita achas. Two people sleeping in one bed. Mahu shezeh yachzer panav v'yikor kriyashma. What is the halacha? May they both turn their backs to each other. Rashi says, even though their backs are touching, so their rear ends are touching, are they allowed to say kriyashma in that position? Is that considered permitted? Is that considered a permitted situation to read Kriyashma or not? Amar le, he said, Hachi Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says as follows, Va'afilu ishta imay. Yes, one is permitted to do that, even if it's his wife. As long as they turn away from each other. Yeah, as long as they turn away from each other, even if it's his wife. Gemara says, even if it's the wife. Maskev Rav Yosef, with the wife, there's not so much hear her. Because a person could go ahead and sort of control his thoughts when he's with, when he's in the same bed as his wife. I mean, he's been there many times. So, Maskev Rav Yosef, Ishtei v'loimi b'yachar, even if your wife is using, but it was somebody else's, it was somebody else, then it would be pasha to be mutter, v'loimi b'yachar. If anything, the wife is the smallest chiddush. Adraba, ishtei kegufay, your wife is like your body. Acher, lav kegufay, if you're with somebody else in the bed, that's a much bigger chiddush. Then you're going to be thinking about the other person's body if you're touching it. So there's a machlokes. Shmuel holds that everybody's mutter, even the wife. And Rabbi Yosef holds that the wife, maybe the wife is mutter, but not anybody else. We have the questions to Gemara. If you have two people sleeping in one bed, this one is allowed to face to the north and read Kriyashma. This one can face to the south and read Kriyashma. There's one brisa that it's mutter. But Tanya Achrita, and another brisa says, Ayoshin b'mita. If somebody's sleeping in a bed, Ubanov ubnei beisoi b'tzidei, and his children, ubnei beisoi, his wife, are at his side, Hareza lo yikara, he's not allowed to read Kriyashma. Ela imkein ha'yusa talas mafsekes b'nehen, unless there is a talas in between them.
Is this where they're not clothed?
Yeah. The entire thing from the beginning is where they're not clothed. Right. Yeah. But if his children or b'nei beisar are ketanim, interesting, his wife is a cotton, mutter, it is permitted. So bishlam el Rabbi Yosef loy kash, according to Rabbi Yosef, it's no question. Ha be'ishte, the first brisa, now the Gemara is going to say it says b'nei beisar in the second brisa. So ha be'ishte, the first brisa which says that it's mutter is talking about his one's wife, and that's when it's mutter. Ha ba'acha, and the second brisa which says that it's usher is with his other people besides the wife. Elul Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who says that it's per. According to Shmuel, that says that everybody's mutter. Kasha, we have a brisa which states not like you. So what does Shmuel respond? Shmuel says, well, you're right, you have a brisa that says not like me. But there's a brisa that says not like you also. The second brisa says one's wife is also usher. So this, it's not like me, it's not like you. What do you want? According to Rabbi Yosef, is it good? It says both the kids and the wife is in the bed. It says also wife, you can't do it unless there's a talus being mafsik between the two of you, or one of them is wearing clothes. What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, okay, so Rabbi Yosef is going to say, okay, fine, that brisa doesn't like go like me. I go like the other brisa. I also go like the other brisa. Me too. I'll say it's a machlokes tanoim. So you're right, you found the brisa not like me. But you have, first of all, you found the brisa like me. And second of all, that same brisa that's not like me is not like you. So it's not a kasha on me. Omar Maris, their master pun of a kaira kriyashma. This one should turn his face and read kriyashma. Questions to Gemara. Ay, lemaisa, what's the pshat? Lemaisa, the people's behinds are touching each other. V'ha'ika agavais. The Gemara says, misayei le Rav Huna. This is a proof to Rav Huna's opinion. The Amar Rav Huna agavais is ein bahem mishum erva. A person's backside, rear end, does not have a din of an erva. That means the halacha is that a person is not allowed to say brachas in front of an erva of a lady. Every tefach on a lady's body is considered an erva. So if you have a girl who's wearing a miniskirt, you're not allowed to say a bracha in front of her. It's a very big problem by weddings when sometimes the kala herself is wearing a low-cut gown. Because a tefach over here is a problem. You can't say a bracha there. So some of the Masada Kedushin has to sometimes turn away. And then he can't face the crowd, because if the kala looks like that, you can imagine what the crowd looks like. So he sort of like looks up to Shemayim. Okay, so that's why you see by a lot of these weddings, the Masada Kedushin is a big tzaddik, like, Oruch Adu Hashem. So that's by a man, though. We don't say tefach by a man, is simply because you don't think when you see an unclothed man. But what definitely, if you see the erva, if he's totally standing unclothed in the mikvah, you cannot say a bracha. What about you seeing his behind? Halacha is you're allowed to say a bracha. It's not considered an erva.
It's a
tether. What?
It's a tether for other ladies or for his own wife?
Anybody.
So what we said before, that by the bathroom you need two tvachim.
That was how much to expose oneself in order to.
Nothing to do with erva.
No. Oh, it had to do with tznius, but nothing to do with making brachas or things like that. Uh-huh. Had to do with hilchas tznius.
I was very tough. You walk into the mikvah and there's people, and someone says, "How are you?" And you always want to say, "Baruch Hashem."
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Or shalom. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So Adam Ravuna Agavos ain't behem mishum erva. Ravuna says Agavos do not have a halachas of a status of an erva. The Gemara says Lema Mesayel Ravuna. So you know, I actually it doesn't point out that the halacha is like Ravuna here, but I think it is. But from the fact that it doesn't point it out, perhaps it's not. Maybe we'll get to check that after. So Lema Masayel Ravuna, let us say this. Let us say the following brice is also proof to Ravuna, as it says, Ha'isha Yosheves Vekutzala Chalosa Aruma. A lady is allowed to sit and take off chala, aruma, even if she's completely unclothed. Because she is able to cover her paneha, her face, and it means her face below, it means her erva, in the karka. So if she's sitting down, her erva is naturally covered, because it naturally hugs the ground. And memela, it is considered covered. She's allowed to make a bracha in that position. And she herself is not an erva to herself. So even though her she's totally exposed, she's totally unclothed, she's allowed to make a bracha. Other people cannot.
Do you say bracha if you're not clothed?
What?
I'm saying if you're not wearing clothes, can you say bracha?
A woman can if she's sitting down. A man cannot, because he has his erva exposed. But a woman, if she's sitting down, has her erva covered. But questions the Gemara. You're right. Her erva is covered, but her backside is not covered. Avaloha isha, man cannot, because his erva is uncovered. So, but what we see is this is a proof to Rav Huna. It's talking about where the entire lower part of her body is like jammed into the ground, meaning it's like a bit of loose, or I always explain, like it's a bit of loose earth and it's like covering her. It is, even her backside is slightly covered as she's in the ground. And Mamela, she is totally covered. From the fact that there's a letter there, I see that I could be halacha lamaisa, we do not pass in like Ravuna. And agavos are a problem, I would have to check it out. Omar Mar, im hayu banav ubnei beisli katanim is mutter. If your children are little kids, then it is mutter to read Kriya Shema in the same bed as them. Vad kama amrav chista to machlekes tinek is bas shalosh shanim, a girl up to 3 years old v'yom echad, the tinek ben teisha shanim v'yom echad, and a boy up to 9 years and 1 day old.
Why is it not considered an erva?
Because up to that point, it's not considered an erva, right?
Why is that? I mean, it's a physical fact.
That's why you're allowed to say a bris. You're allowed to say bris. Yeah, brachas with the bris, with the kid is totally exposed. Yeah, but at that point, the kid is so small that he's not considered it's not considered an erva. It's like, it's no shaychas to an erva at that age. I think there are some people who are makvit to cover the bris, but I don't, halakha l'maaseh, I don't think you need to. Ikid Amri, those that say that Tinek is up to 11 years old, Bas Yud Alef Shana V'Yemecher, V'Tinek Ben Shteim, Esrei Shana V'Yemecher, and a boy up to 12 years old. Idi V'Idi, both of these last two opinions, I think it is, Ad Kidei Shadayim Nechoinu V'Sarech Tzameach, until the stage where the Shadayim Nechoinu, the breasts are starting to form V'Sarech, and the hair is starting to grow. Meaning, at the age that the kid starts to look like, we'll call it a sexual being, the age of the child starts to look like, a Bar Hachi. And the reason for that second opinion is because up before that age, you don't really think about it so much. I know halacha l'maisa with regards to many shaylos, it starts, at what point does it become asa to listen, to be yichud with a girl? At what point does, so some say three, but many places can hold that davka until they become, it depends on the girl. Some girls look more mature at 8, some at 7, some at 6. I have nieces that look like you know, they carry themselves as a whole, depending on, you know, what they're exposed to in the media, but they're completely mature teenagers when they're 8. And you have other kids who are like, you know, 10 or 11 and still, you know, like, totally not, totally don't present themselves as teenagers. So it really depends on, definitely past 12 is also, but most places can say definitely past 9 for a girl, but the below 9 is, it depends on what they look like and who they are, their personality. Even though earlier on the bottom of Mechav Gimel Beis, we said that even though there was a refutation of Shmuel's halacha, nevertheless the halacha followed Shmuel with regards to putting the tefillin under one's bed. Hacha, in this case, what's the halacha? Where Shmuel says that it is permitted to be with everybody. It's permitted to touch another person, to be in contact with another person who is both totally unclothed. Are you allowed to read Kriya Shema in that case? Hachamai. Amalei? No. Atu kulhu bechada machta machtinu. Are all of Shmuel's, is an expression, are all of the halachas bechada machta machtinu, are they made in the same frying pan? In other words, does it have the same halachas? Kulhu, all the halachas bechada, one machta machtinu, do we make them in the same pan? Elahecha de Itmar, where it was stated that the halacha is like him, even though he was refuted, Itmar was stated. Vehecha de Loyetmar, if it wasn't stated, Loyetmar wasn't stated. Amalei Rav Mori Lera Papa, Sa'ar Yoytze Bebigdei Maho. What happens is the hair, is, let's say, pubic hair, is that considered an erva or not? So you have somebody with these really holy underwear, and it's got a bunch of hair cropping out from the underwear, and Lamaisa, his erva is covered, but we see the Sa'ar poking through. What's the halacha? Karala, he responded, Sa'ar, no, it's only hair, it's not a problem. And that's the halacha that we do not, that's not called an erva. We will have to stop over here. Have a great day, a great chodesh.